Okay, thank you, Yitzi Shkayach, for once again opening your home. Thank you to you and your kids, who are always up, which is always nice. Keeps it more fun. So we thank the whole family for inviting us back, or for allowing us to barge our way back in. Ah, Rav David, what's the occasion that we're learning for?
Okay. Chaim Eliezer ben Zalman, my mother's father's Yerzeitz.
Okay. We hope that their neshamas will have an aliyah. Mirtz Hashem. Okay, so we're going to try to learn a topic in the parsha that's a little bit halachic and a little bit hashkafic. You know, we get the chance usually on Shabbos to share a lot of divrei chizuk and esoros, but I also wanted to make sure that we try to ground ourselves in something a little more textual, whatever that's worth, and a little more halachic, even though we're not going to be paskining any major shilas tonight. But there's a very interesting possible suggestion in halacha that emerges from none other than Bilam HaRasha. So let's begin. Source number one. We know that Bilam is hired by Balak because he has a koach of klala. He has an ability to curse. It seems that, again, we've never met Bilam on the pages of the Chumash before, but it seems right off the bat that Bilam apparently knows what he's doing. He has a reputation for being someone who's very matzliach in this regard. And therefore the parsha basically begins, Vayishlach melachim el Bilam ben Beor Pesor, in source number one. Bilam is hired, after Balak presents his concerns. He sends messengers to Bilam. And he says, we need Bilam to deal with this big nation that's coming out of Mitzrayim, that seems to be a dominant force, and we need to deal with them. Pasuk Vav, where it's bolded, Va'ata l'cha na'orol li yasa'am hazeh. So I need to hire you. We need you to come and curse this people. Because if we don't deal with this, Jewish problem, then we're going to have a big problem. And concludes the messengers in the name of Balak. And we know that you're very successful. The people who you bless are blessed, and the people you curse are cursed. So Bilam seems to be a well-established person in this regard. The Svarim ask an interesting question. Balak was also very proficient with Kishuf. He also knew black magic. He also had kochos of Tuma to be able to curse. Why did he dafka need Bilam? So the Svarim, already the Medrash hints to it, the fact that Bilam had a unique koch bepeh, and Klal Yisrael were known to have a unique koch bepeh. And therefore, this called for not just, you know, Stam, anyone who knew black magic, to deal with the Jewish people. Klal Yisrael had a unique koach hadibur, and we needed Bilam, who apparently was, again, was renowned for his koach hapeh, to fight against Klal Yisrael. So it's known, ki yadati asher tivarech mevarach v'asher taor you are, that you have this koach. You look a little later in the parsha, now Bilam is ready to get to work, in source number two. And he's busy building his mizbechos, and he's preparing all of his offerings. And now he says, and here for a second we start to see how Bilam is not so in control of the situation. In Pasuk Gimel, in source number two, Ve'yomer Bilam LaBalak is yatziv al olosecha ve'elcha ulai yikarei Hashem lekrasi. Maybe Hashem will happen upon me. So you need Hashem to help you. You need Hashem to assist you. You're not fully in control of the situation here. And Pasuk Dalit says, Vayikar Elokim El Bilam, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu happened upon Bilam. Vayikar. As opposed to Moshe, Vayikra, we know that Bilam is only spoken to Vayikar. Lashon Mikra. It's not something that Bilam is fully in charge of. HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides to allow himself to present himself to Bilam. And Bilam, again, it's really a different discussion for another time, but it's fascinating. Bilam is not such a bad guy if you just read the Pashut Pshat of the Pesukim. Read the text of the Chumash, Bilam seems to be pretty frum. Right? Bilam is maybe firmer than some of us. I only do what God tells me to do. I don't do anything unless God allows me to do it. Again, it's a big question how Chazal knew that Bilam was such a Rasha. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Bilam in Pasuk Dalet, and Rashi tells us in source number 3, Vayikar Lashon Arai. Lashon Arai means, it just so happened to work out this way. Lashon Gnai. It's an expression of disregard for Bilam. Lashon Tumas Keri. Vayikar, a lashon of keri, a tumah. Klomer bekoshi ubibizayon. The fact that a Kaddish Baruch Hu allowed himself to appear to Bilam is not because Bilam is such a great individual, and it's not because Bilam's in charge of the situation. Bilam was in a situation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided, okay, I'm going to allow Bilam to be my shliach, really for the sake of blessing Klal Yisrael. And the only reason that Bilam was zochet to such a nevuah bayom, which is an exalted level of nevuah, is only because Hashem wanted to use him as a tool in order to show how much he loves Klal Yisrael. So on the one hand, you get this picture that Bilam has a reputation that he's this outstanding, you know, world-renowned curser, right? He has this ability to curse the Jewish people, to bring klala upon whoever he, so to speak, chooses to speak against. On the other hand, you see the psukim seem to say he's not fully in control of the situation. And now we end the psukim, we come to Chazal. And this is the Gemara that I really want to look at to try to maybe see something of a halachic nature. The Gemara in Brachos, in source number 4, on Dav Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara in Brachos tells us a very interesting thing about Hashem, which again is a theological question that we're not going to explore tonight, which is, does God have emotions? Does Hashem get angry? Is Hashem happy with us? We talk like that. The Torah talks like that. That God is a zealous God, an angry God. Right? Hashem strikes with a vengeance. HaKadosh Baruch, we sometimes say, has nachas ruach from us. Does Hashem have feelings? Does Hashem have ups and downs, so to speak, an emotional spectrum like we have? We describe the sviros, the different midos of Hashem. Hashem is the mid of chesed and gvura, right? And Tiferes. So what are these expressions? Does God have you know, mood swings? Does God change the way he presents himself from one situation to the next? The Gemara tells the following story in source number 4. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yossi. Minayin she'in meratzen lo la'odim b'shas kasa. Let's learn something. Derech Eretz Midos. It's a mission in Pirkei Avos also. It says in Pirkei Avos, Al teratz es chavercha b'shas kasa. Don't try to appease your friend when he's angry. How do you know you shouldn't try to, you know, calm a person down when they're angry? Sometimes you just have to let the person be, if they're fired up. Where do we see that from? We see it from Hashem. Dichsib panayi leichu v'hani chosilach. HaKadosh Baruch, when he got angry at Klal Yisrael by Chere Egal, Shmoz Parak Lama Gimel and Kisisa, Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch l'Moshe, hamtein li ad sheyavru panim shel za'am v'aniach l'cha. Allow me to get through my moment of anger, and then I'll give you rest. But don't, Moshe, don't bother me now. Hashem is frustrated with Klal Yisrael, and I want to be left alone. So we learn from there, you shouldn't try to appease someone when they're angry. Because even Hashem gets angry sometimes. So it says the Gemara, whoa, hold on a second, God gets angry? Is that true? Umi ika, in the third line where it's bolded, umi ika ritzcha kamei kuchabrichu, does God really get angry? Is there such a thing as a Kadosh Baruch Hu getting angry? In, says the Gemara, yes. Detanya v'kel zo'im b'chol yom. Says David HaMelech in Tehillim, God gets angry every single day. Okay. So says the Gemara, v'kam za'amo, so how angry does Hashem get? If Hashem gets angry every day, does Hashem get angry for an hour a day, a minute a day, a second a day? So the Gemara says, rega, Hashem gets angry for a rega, a moment a day. V'kama rega, says the Gemara, how long is a rega? Echad michamishas ribo shmona salafim b'shmona meyas v'shmona b'shmona b'sha. 158,888th of an hour. V'zohi rega. It comes out to about 1/16th of a second. So Hashem gets angry for 1/16th of a second. Okay. That's how long God gets angry. No, we have a mitzvah to be like Hashem. So if you have a tendency to get angry for a little more than a second a day, you should know you're not acting the way a Jew should act. A Jew has to try to be like Hashem. Has to try to be like, right? Try to mimic the midos of a Kadosh Baruch. Okay, so maybe we're entitled to 1/16th of a second of anger a day. More than that, already you're not being like Hashem. Ve'ein kol briya yechol lachavin osa shah chutz mi'bilam harasha. Says the Gemara, no one in the world knows how to figure out when exactly that moment is, except for Bilam. Bilam knows how to find that exact moment. So the Gemara says, what? Bilam doesn't even know how to debate his donkey. Bilam knows how to figure out the deepest secret of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mood swings. So the Gemara says, yes, Bilam had the ability to figure it out. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the Jewish people, you should just realize how fortunate you are that I controlled, kivyachol, my anger when Bilam was around. Because if I would have gotten angry, Bilam would have exploited that moment of anger, and he would have cursed you, and he would have destroyed Klal Yisrael. That's what the Gemara says. So you should just remember, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, the kindness that I did for you when I didn't get angry all that time that Bilam was around. Okay. So then the Gemara goes on and it quotes a source, again, a further source. How do you know that a Kadosh Baruch Hu gets angry? Ki rega ba po chayim b'rtzono. How do you know that Hashem only gets angry for a moment? Because the pasuk says ki, right, second to last line of source number four. Ki rega ba apo. For a moment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry. Chayim b'rtzono. The Gemara says again, how long is a rega? How long is a rega? You answer that question already. So the Achronim say maybe, you know, this later opinion didn't know the earlier brisa. It says rega kameimre. How long is a rega? The amount of time it takes to say the word rega. Okay, so also a split second. Maybe a little longer than 1/16 of a second. Whatever it is, it's a very short amount of time. And Bilam wanted to exploit that moment to curse Klal Yisrael. So now, Tosfos, on that Gemara, in Brachos Dav Zayin, it's also a Tosfos in Avodah Zarah Dav Dalet Amud Beis, asks a very simple question. So Bilam, so you're going to exploit that moment that God gets angry for a split second. So what are you going to say? I mean, you open up the Parsha, right? And Bilam has a lot to say. He gives at least four long speeches, depending on how you break it down. Yeah? It's a lot of, you know. If the rabbi gave four drushes on one Shabbos, I think people would, that's a lot. There's a lot to say. So what does it mean? Bilam is going to give what? Psukim. He's going to say everything that he has to say in a split second. Tosfos asks a very simple question. What could Bilam possibly have said in that moment to destroy the Jewish people? It says Tosfos in source number five, V'im tomer, mai hayayachol lomer b'shas rega, what could Bilam say in a split second, less than a second? Yesh lomer, says Tosfos, answer number one, Bilam could have said one word, which in that one word he could have destroyed the entire Jewish people. What's the word? Chof lamed mem, kalem, destroy them. Okay, you could say that in a moment. So had Bilam said the word kalem, he would have destroyed the Jewish people. It's very fascinating. Tosfos in the other version of this Tosfos in Avodah Zarah Daf Dalid says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his kindness was mahapich kalim, and that's why Bilam says itruas melech bo. Right? Kalim, which means destroy the Jewish people, turned into itruas melech, letters kalim backwards, melech, truas melech bo, that Hashem is trua, maybe a lashon of reyus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a close relationship with us. The truth is some of the Zivrei Chassidus say, if you look at Bilam's three main speeches when he starts to speak, the first one begins with the letter Mem. The first one begins with the letter Chaf. The second one begins with the letter Lamed. And the last one, Matovu, I think, begins with the letter Mem. So even though Bilam was blocked from saying Kaleim, he was still trying very, very hard to curse the Jewish people. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu was then a Hafachu, he flipped it around, and Truas Melech. Okay.
But why is it such a question that we're familiar with, you know, you're saying, you know, it's the Shem Hashem, there are different things. We're familiar with a few letters representing much more.
Right, so okay.
The question,
so again, it's a simple question Tosfos asks, right? But I guess like when you see his long speeches, you kind of wonder, like, how is he going to do all this? Because the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, from the way that he blessed Klal Yisrael, you could see how much he would have wanted to curse, right? I mean, if he's forced to say this much bracha, you can only imagine how much klala he would have liked to say. So Tosfos says, so when was he going to say all this klala? So Tosfos says, he would have been satisfied just saying one word, which would have finished us off. Could have said kalim. But then Tosfos gives a second approach, and this is going to get us into the halachic topic I want to just touch on tonight. And that is, Tosfos says, inami, me'acher shayamastel kilalasso bo'osa shah, hayamazik afil la'achakim. Tosfos has a very interesting suggestion. If you know the moment that God gets angry, and you can exploit that moment, and you could start cursing the Jewish people in that moment, then you're allowed to continue your drasha. Once you're in for as long as you're talking. Meaning, if Bilam could tap into that moment of Hashem's anger, then he's able to continue to damage and destroy the Jewish people even afterwards. Now that's an interesting thing to think about. And that could come up, that could, in theory, have very real-life halachic ramifications. If a person starts to do something within the proper Zman, and then it extends itself beyond the proper Zman, so when we say, you know, you made it. Once you're in, you made it in time. Right, what time is it now? Now it's 9, it's 9:13. So it's way past Shkia. Okay, but let's say you're trying to make it to Shul. You're running to get to Shul for Mincha. Yeah, and you're running late. And you walk in, and Mincha's already over. I davened the other day. I didn't daven at Beit Avraham. I davened Mincha one day at a different shul this week. And as I finished Mincha, someone ran in and said, what time is Mincha? Clearly not from the neighborhood. I said, you just missed it. So he said, Shrek. He said, Shrek, I missed Mincha. So okay, so he went to daven Mincha. Now it was close to Shkia time. Yeah? So first of all, let's just clarify something. When is the Zman for Mincha? When is the latest time to daven Mincha? So if you look in the Mishnah Brura, it's verse number 6. Let's clarify this first. The Chavetz Chaim tells us, when is the Zman for Mincha? And I was in Los Angeles for Shuas, so I was davening at a shtibel, a couple of days of Chol, at this shtibel, and they davened Mincha pretty late. I'm not going to tell you how late. They davened the Sukhsar. The Rav is a Hasidish Yid. They weren't exactly looking to finish Mincha before Shkia. Okay? I'll leave it at that so I don't frighten anyone too much. Yeah? But what are we dealing with? What are we dealing with in terms of the options? Right, they had finished Achris. They had finished Achris before sundown. That for sure they did. Not by much, but they made it. Okay, so what are we talking about in terms of the options? What's the lechar chila? Again, in terms of normative halacha, what are we dealing with? What are the options? So the Mishnah Berurah tells us in source number 6. It's a siman reish lam and gimel and hilchos zman tefilas mincha. When's the optimal time for ma'ariv? The optimal time for ma'ariv is not what many of us probably do or many shuls allow one to do, which is to daven mincha, to wait a couple of seconds after shkia, and then to daven ma'ariv. Okay, no one's going to say that that's the best way to daven mincha and ma'ariv. Again, yeshal milismoch, and make sure you repeat Shema, etc. But when is the optimal time? So the Mishnah Berurah writes in Siman Reish Lamed Gimel Sif Katan Yudalad, in source number 6. Vida da'af shahamachaber v'harama mashmel dilididon dinogim lispal marav achar tesach kolchav. Now this is shocking to some people. People don't realize this. That a simple read of the Shulchan Aruch would tell you that the Zman for Ma'ariv is Seisach Uchavim. The implication, and again, this might sound very shocking to some of us, is that the Zman for Mincha might actually go pretty close to Seisach Uchavim. Now in our mind, everything ends at Shkia. Right? Time for Shabbos starts by Shkia. No one's driving their car after Shkia. Okay, you get really stuck with Shas Chak. So the rabbi comes up with something, but you feel like the rabbi's cheating. The rabbi's not cheating all that much. The rabbi's just passing out of the Shulchan Aruch, which tells you that Shabbos doesn't really begin at Shkia. The time for Ma'ariv, nighttime, as defined by the beginning of Masechus Brachos, is Seisach Chavim. So therefore, says the Mishnah Berurah, if Ma'ariv is Seisach Chavim, a simple reading of the Mechaber and the Rama might tell you that it's Mutter L'Spal Mincha Afilu Achar Shkia at Samach L'Seisach Chavim. That really one could daven mincha until pretty close, he's going to explain what he means by that, pretty close to Seisach Chavim. So even though one could, again, a simple read of the Shulchan Aruch, one could make the case, right, that even now, maybe I could still squeeze in mincha, what time is Seis? 9:24? Okay? So one could maybe even argue, it's pretty dark out now, that one could maybe even still squeeze in mincha. Says the Mishnah Berurah, I'm certainly not recommending that, not at all. Yesh poskim rabim shecholkim bezev v'daitim shetilas ha-mincha hu rak kodem shkia sacham. There are many who would say, many poskim who would tell us that the time for mincha is up until sunset. Normative, what we would call normative sunset. Maizmanim.com sunset. You know, regular sunset. Now it happens to be, again, nowadays we're used to thinking that everyone starts Shabbos by shkia. But that wasn't always necessarily the case. So much so that there were some Hasidim when they first came to America, they were still driving cars after Shkia. Right? And people, and like, you know, the Jews who were not familiar with this thought this was like an extremely strange thing. Again, you open up the Shulchan Aruch and you see in numerous places that it's not necessarily the strangest of things. Okay, but Yesh Poskim Rabbim, says the Mishnah Berurah, tell us that really we try to call it a day by Shkia Sachama, by sunset. And therefore, most shuls will tell you that the Zman for Mincha is going to be about 15 minutes, 20 minutes before Shkia, before a regular sunset. Now look at the Mishnah Berurah writes, Dahainu sheyigmur tfilaso, ba'od shelo neskasa shemesh meineinu. That we should try to finish Mincha before the sun is gone. To complete Mincha, not to start Mincha, but to finish Mincha by the time the sun sets. And the Mishnah Berurah says, even better to daven by yourself and to try to finish before sunset than to rely on those opinions that allow you to daven b'tzibur, than to daven with a minyan in a minyan that davens after sunset. Now, I'll just point out that that point is not muskam lakol. Not everyone agrees to that. Rav Adi Yosef has a tshuva in source number 7 in the Yechav Adas. And again, I'm not posketing anything here. You'll ask Rabbi Neuberger your halacha lemaisa shailas. But Rav Adi Yosef feels, in source number 7, that if I have a choice to daven and finish mincha alone by myself, by sunset, or to daven a little bit after sunset with a minion, it's better to daven with a minion. And one could make a compelling case for Moshe Feinstein as a tshuva, that bizman hazeh minion is almost mandatory because of our lack of kavana. And the Gemara says that a tefillah that's daven b'tzibur is never rejected. So unless you really, you know, think you know how to daven, you're basically going to fail going at it on your own. And you're basically going to succeed if you go at it with a minion. So there are poskim, Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva, the Eretz Tzvi. The Kadosh Glover will actually see a different tshuva of his tonight, has a tshuva, where they basically say that it's almost a chiyuv to daven with a minion. It's not just a milah, it's not just an advantage that your tefillah will be better. But bizman hazeh, where our tefillah is so pathetic to begin with, if you don't have a minion, you're almost doomed to fail. So Rav Adi Yosef says, maybe partially considering that you're better off davening, relying on those poskim that allow you to daven a little bit later, to daven with a minion than to daven miyachidus. But again, the Mishnah Berurah says, no, Chavetz Chaim says, I'd rather see you finish Shemona Esrei by yourself before sunset than to daven at a minion that goes past sunset. He says, again, b'shas al-chak, Mishnah Berurah goes on in source number 6, he says, b'shas al-chak, in a very difficult situation, yesh al milismoch, but again, the earlier you can get that Shemona Esrei and the earlier you can finish mincha, the closer you can get to shkia, the better you are. And the closer you get to Tzeis HaKochavim, the more questionable your davening is going to become.
It's not really addressing, saying you have to finish before.
Okay, good. So now let's come back to Tosos. So Tosos gave us this idea, again, in a totally different context, that if Bilam HaRasha would have started his curse, Bizmana, in the moment that Hashem gets angry, he'd be allowed to finish it after the Zman. So could that be a Svar? Let's say I want to make Shkia. Let's say I have Shkia in my mind as my halachic cutoff. But now I can't daven all of Shemona Esrei because I walked into shul, right? And I said, what time is mincha? And someone says to me, they just finished mincha. And now you see, I have 30 seconds, right? A precise, you know, myzmanim.com. I have 30 seconds till Shkia. So what should I do? Let's say in my mind, I have to make Shkia. Is there still a way for me to feel that I made Shkia? So, maybe Tosos is far. Maybe if I start my Shemona Esrei in the proper time, once I'm in, as long as I checked in, right? As long as I signed in, as long as I punched in on time, so then I'm allowed to continue to daven even after the Zman. Do we find such a svar? Does anyone say such a svar? So I wanna share with you a comment from the Eretz Tzvi. The Shailas and Tshuvas Eretz Tzvi in source number 8. Who's the Eretz Tzvi? I gave you a little picture of him. That's a picture of the Kadosh Glover. From Aryeh Tzvi Fromer. He was Rosh Yeshiva and Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin. Okay, so those are pretty solid credentials for knowing Torah. And he died at the hands of the Nazis in Machshon in 1943. I gave you the dates of his life. He was killed. He died in Kiddush Hashem in Majdanek during the war. And he was a Hasidish Yid, a real Gaon Olam. And one of the things that he does often in the Shalos and Tshuvos is he tries to be Malamed Zchus on different Minhagim. That if a lot of Jews do something, he says, there must be a reason why Jews do that. And he has a lot of tshuvos where he's busy being malamitz chos and klai. So apparently he sees that there are a lot of people who daven mincha pretty late. And sometimes they seem to think that it's enough to just like, if I start before shkia, then for sure I'm good. So he's not sure, is there such a svar? Is there such an idea? So he quotes from someone who I feel very connected to. It happens to be a distant relative of mine. I have a family connection to the Yir HaKadosh from Prishischa. So he quotes here in Tshuva, Kufchaf Aleph, in source number 8, he says, Va'amnam sheyesh makum lamina gazel al pi shehigir ha-Yehudi HaKadosh mi Prishischa. The Yir HaKadosh, the holy Jew of Prishischa, student of the Chose of Lublin, one of the great rebbes of Chassidus, the Yir HaKadosh of Prishischa said the following. He said, maybe you could be malami zchus al ha-maschil l'espal b'zman tefila, where do we have such a source? Where do we see such an idea? He says, maybe you could bring a limud zchus midivrei Tosos brachos daf zayin amud aleph. From this Tosos about Bilam HaRasha. That if you start davening Shmona Esrei in the time, you're allowed to finish it. The same way had Bilam started, Tosfos, the second opinion, had Bilam started to curse in that moment of divine wrath, he could have finished cursing. And he quotes this Tosfos. So he says three lines from the end, Mida Tova Meruba. So if you're allowed to curse, if you can start cursing and continue cursing, then certainly you can start davening and continue davening. Right? All the more so. To do something positive, this is the Limas Chus of the Yira Kadosh, who was also a person who was always Malamit Chus and Klai Yisrael. And the Kadosh Glover brings this again as a possible Svar. Okay, now do we follow this Lahalacha? So you can see in source number 11 that the Aruch HaShulchan brings it. The Aruch HaShulchan is not a lightweight in terms of being a posek. He says that, again, if you're pressed for time, some would say you should daven what's known in the Gemara as the abridged Shmona Esrei called Havinenu, which is a miniature version of Shmona Esrei, a Tefillah Ketzara. Right? But the Aruch HaShulchan says, no, maybe you can rely on this opinion in Tosfos. Again, as long as you start your Shmona Esrei in time, then you're allowed to finish it after the time. Okay, where else? The other choice is to say I missed mincha and to davena, maybe to, again, depending on my situation, if I'm eligible for tashlumin, depending on why I missed mincha, I usually would say, you know, it's presumably it was some type of onus, and we'd let you daven a double ma'ariv. But again, it's a question if I'm going to... No, but here we're dealing with a case where I have 30, in my mind, I have to hit shkia. Again, even Mishnah Berurah is telling me, b'sha'as adchak, I may not have to hit shkia. But let's say I've decided... You know, that Shkia is the absolute cutoff. Okay, so this might be, even for someone who holds that Shkia is the absolute cutoff, again, this could be a shita to rely upon as long as I get started before Shkia. Again, we're just touching on a variety of approaches, again, not stating anything halacha l'maaseh, but again, it's good to know how things work.
When we hit this already, like,
if you start Shalosh, right, so another area where this comes up, right, in a very regular type of way, is let's say I have Shabbos Suda that I started on Shabbos, and now it continues into after Shabbos. Right, so there we know Shabbos can go on. There's an inyan of Tosefes Shabbos. So I can really extend Shabbos beyond, you know, Shabbos doesn't end automatically with Tzeisach HaChavim. There's a mitzvah to be most of Michol HaKodesh at the start of Shabbos, and a mitzvah to add on to Shabbos at the end of Shabbos. So let's take another area where I may not be able to extend it. It may not be as obvious to us that you can extend it. What about Purim? Let's say I start my Purim Suda, yeah? And it goes on and on, and it goes on and on. And now I'm well into the night of Tesvav, it's Shushan Purim, right? Maybe my Suda's dragging on because I've had a little too much to drink. I don't even know if I'm eligible to bench. Maybe I'm waiting to sober up a little bit. Whatever the situation is. All right, so the question is, so now that it's well after Yom Yudalid, which is the Zman for Purim Suda, so can I still say Alanisim when I bench? Now it's the night of the 15th. Right? Shushan Purim, again, certainly in Pnimius HaTorah is not a small Indian. But again, we're talking normative, regular halacha here. So can I still say Alanisim? Right, what's the halacha in that case? What do you think?
You have a continuous Suda, then
right? So the Suda goes from the start of the Suda. Right? That seems to be the rule on Shabbos, and that seems to be the rule on Purim. In source number 9, the Shulchan Aruch rules, in the laws of Sudas Purim, I will look at Sif Bez, four lines in. Chai Vinish Labisuim Prayad Lo Yada, a person should drink on Purim. And then the Ramah says, maybe you don't have to drink so much. And then words bolded, V'noagim Laso Sudas Purim Lachar Mincha. You should probably daven Mincha before you sit down to the Suda. V'arvis Yispa'al Lubal Island, and daven Mariv late at night. The time for the Purim, don't start your Purim Suda 10 seconds before Purim's over. Again, in a regular sense, before Yom Yudalid is over. This is actually part of the topic that the Eretz Tzvi and that Tshuva was talking about. He's trying to be Malamit Tzchus on Jews who start their Suda very late. Sometimes even delivering Shalach Manos after dark. He says he totally missed it. Right, but he said maybe Shalach Manos is connected to the Suda, so maybe it's still a continuation of the Suda. He comes up with a limud tzchus because he likes to defend Jewish people, which is a good thing. But the Ramah says, already, the Ramah says, it's not proper what people do, lahaschel samach la'erev, v'ikra suda hu le'el tazvav, where most of the Purim Suda is on Shushan Purim. He says the Ramar, Moshe Isserle says that's not really the right way to do things. Okay, so now let's say I started my Purim Suda at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and now it drags on and on and on. So again, does the Suda continue? Can I still say Al Nisim? So that's also a debate in the halacha, but it's clear what the opinion that we follow is. And Sif Gimel, the Shulchan Aruch says, continuing Omer Al Nisim beBirchas Hamazon. Right, we say Al Nisim in benching beBirchas Aretz. If im hischil Sudaso bayomu mashchar alayla, you can say Al Nisim. Yesh Omer that you can't say it, and then the Ramah says Vinoagin Kesvar Rishana. But the minhag is that we do say. So as long as you started your Purim Suda in the proper time, certainly you can drag the Suda on quite a bit into the evening. Okay, so that's the normative halacha. Yes, Sir Jackie.
Can you make any hay out of the fact that the Mishnah Berurah seems to change his lashon? If I asked you, what are you supposed to daven Marv? Right? You and I are speaking English. What are you supposed to daven Marv? Tell me.
Tzitzit Kochav.
No, that's not an English word.
Stars.
Right?
When the stars come out. I'm not going to say nightfall.
Well,
you want me to say nightfall?
Say nightfall.
Okay,
no,
so I won't say nightfall. I said I'm not saying nightfall.
Why should you daven Marv? He says, but Arvis Yisbalu
Balayla.
You daven Marv at night.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the whole issue of Shkia Sacham and Tzitz Kachavim, because we don't know what night is.
Right.
And later on he says, Lok Moshanogim Lahaskal Samok La Erev.
Mm-hmm.
What's Erev?
Right.
I mean,
Pasha Pshat is that we do know what night is, right? Meaning.
No, we don't.
No?
No, we have this whole issue of Ben Hashmashos. Ben Hashmashos is.
We have to figure out when Ben Hashmashos is. Is Ben Hashmashos right after sunset? Is Ben Hashmashos right before.
Don't we know?
Tzitzit Kochavim. But Tzitzit Kochavim is a clear.
No. Ben Hashmashos is between what we call sunset
and nightfall.
What's nightfall?
Because I think we know it clearly defined.
Define nightfall. Don't go further.
Two medium-sized stars. Isn't that what we call it? Three medium-sized stars. So, I'm never on time, you know that. But three medium-sized stars. I think that we know what the differentiation is between night or nightfall and when dusk is or the end of day. What we aren't clear on is when definitively one ends and the other one starts.
No,
but
I would beg to differ with you. I would tell you that three stars is definitively night.
Mm-hmm.
Sunset is the end of the day. That period between sunset and the three stars is called Ben Hashmashos, because we don't know what the status of that period of time is. So I can be Malamed Sos on all the Chassidim, and I come from a Misnagdash family, that if you maintain that Seisa Chochavim is night,
mm-hmm.
and until night it's still daytime, you daven Mincha all the way till Seisa Chochavim. Those that don't hold like that would say that you have to be done by sunset, which
mm-hmm.
is Shkia. I would imagine Lahaskal Somuch La'erev really means Shkia, by the way. Because when the Shulchan Aruch and Mishnah Berurah talk about Zmanim, it talks about the relative location of the sun in the sky, and we can only judge the sun going down at sunset, at Shkia Sachama, not at Tzeitz Kochav. So that has to be talking about, he's frowning upon people that are starting their Suda close to Shkia, because then it puts mm-hmm. you in a problematic period of time.
Right.
I mean, the whole discussion, I think, really is a question of definitions. I didn't mean to stop the show.
Nice. I don't know that it's obvious. Where does he say? Nogam lasan is pal mincha borin. The rovus of the svichios. But logos nogam lahaschal samach la erev ikra suda hu leil tesvav. Right. So it's a question what erev means here. You're assuming it means shkia. Again, we have to maybe machal between erev and laila. Erev probably means shkia.
I think it does.
Okay. But again, in terms of definitive halacha, brachos beis, you know, brachos daf beis is that night is defined by seisa chacham. So again, going back to the Mishnah Berurah in the context of Mincha, he says, look at the Machaber, look at the Ramah, night is Seisa Chochavim. One should therefore argue according to normative halacha. Again, we have to figure out which part of that whole Shkia until Seisa Chochavim is going to be called Bein HaShemashos. And that's what the Mishnah Berurah says, the earlier you can play it, the better. The closer you get to Seisa Chochavim, the more problematic it's going to be.
The one normative difference between the two, though, is that unlike the sun, which seemingly sets on the horizon, the stars are always there. It's just when the illumination of the sun depletes itself that you're able to physically see the stars, which is why I think that our differentiation between Seis and that Bein HaShemashos period is, it's not that the stars first come out, it's that they're recognizable. And the sun, which sets on the horizon, as it continues to go down the horizon, that's when the illumination starts. So like, what point is it clearly illuminated, at what point can I see it? And that's why we have this Bein HaShemashos.
The whole issue is problematic.
It's only problematic for us.
I rely on my Zmanim just as much as the next guy. But even with my Zmanim, they'll tell you, don't rely on us on these things. It tells you Shkia, it tells you sunset. There are different shitas of what sunset
right.
is.
Right.
Well, it's only problematic for us.
Well, that's the whole question, meaning... Yeah. Bill, sunset right. number one, sunset number two. Okay, this is all machlokas we're talking about.
Don't come to Shkia, to Tzeis. Nobody's going to say
correct.
That the day doesn't end.
Correct. There have to be a Bein HaShemashos at some point between whatever the last sunset is, whether sunset is what we call sunset, or what other Rishonim call sunset when the sun is completely gone from the sky, and then we'll put out that 13 and a half minutes of Bein HaShemashos right before Tzeis. So however we're gonna chesmen. Okay, fine. Good. So let's talk a little machshava, because I think there's an important lesson that comes out of this whole thing. Because again, this is not a definitive halachic topic, but again, you see that there's a limud zchus, the Eretz Tzvi, Yira Kadosh, bring this limud zchus, that if I start at the last second, then it's kilo I made it. And I think there's something that we can learn from that. Because many of us would probably assume that when you find yourself in a situation and there's not enough time to get the job done, so, you know, it's over. I missed the boat. You know, what's the point of grabbing a second now, right? If I'm not going to be able to do a proper job. The chiddush of this Tosfos is that sometimes if you just grab that last second, that's enough to then be able to do a proper job. And that's, I think, a very important attitude towards grabbing mitzvos, towards grabbing, you know, moments of ruchnius in all of its forms. There's a Gemara in Eruvin on Daf Nun Dalet, it's verse number 12, which describes the experience of life in this world. And the Gemara says, Amar lei Shmuel Rav Yehuda Shinina. Shmuel says to Rav Yehuda, sharp one, right, wise one. Chatov v'achol, chatov ishtei. You should grab and eat, you should grab and drink. No, chaver, grab and eat, grab and drink. There's still a lot of hot dogs left. All right, grab and eat, grab and drink. Why? The alma da azlina mineki hilula dami. Because this world is like a hilula. What's a hilula? This world goes by like a hilula, like a chasam. Or said better, like the shmork. Right? When you show up late and they're clearing the shmork, and you run in, and you're trying to you know, grab the last pieces of sushi before the waiter runs. I'm not sure where he's going with it. I'm not sure what he's going to do with it in the kitchen. Right, but you're running in, you're trying to grab something to eat. At that point, you should grab and eat, grab it, because life goes by fast. If you're going to sit around waiting for the perfect Shemoneh Esrei, if you're going to sit around waiting for that perfect opportunity, that night where it's very convenient to go to the Chabura, or the night where it's convenient to start that new Chavrusa, or the time that it's ideal for you to be able to daven your perfect Shemoneh Esrei without any distractions, and getting to Shul, you know, like Chassidim Rishonim are described in the Mishnah and Brachos, an hour before davening, an hour after davening, it may not happen in this lifetime. So chatov achol, just grab whatever you can. Grab onto a crumb of ruchnius. Rashi explains, chatov achol, Rashi explains it sort of in a olam hazak kind of way. Very interesting, very surprising what Rashi says here in source 13. Im yesh lecha mamun lahanos atzmcha, al tamtin ad lemachar shema tamus, v'shuv ein lecha anna. If you have money to spend, spend it today, because maybe you'll die tomorrow. And what's the point of dying with a few extra bucks in your pocket? No. Why should the kids get it? No, spend it. Spend it while you got it. Enjoy it while you have it. It's a strange presentation of this idea. But the Svasemis brings us back, Svasemis and Chas, brings us back really to the mushel of grabbing something to eat at the wedding. And the Svasemis says, I like that he quotes Rashi, and then he says in Source 14, Yesh Lomar, maybe you could say a different parish. Shalo yedaktik ma sheyimsa yocha, v'lo la'abir azman bolam hazeh dekihilu ledamya. I happened to be at a chasn earlier this week, and I walked in a little bit late, and I was at that situation where they were cleaning up the shmorg, and I saw, you know, it was slim pickings at that point, but I still saw, there was still that chevra that was still circling, you know, like the vultures, still circling, you know, trying to grab whatever they can grab. There's somewhat of a feeling, if you're hungry, that you take what you can get. And you're not particular at that point. Because if I don't grab something now, I'm not going to get anything. So that's what the Svasemis says. Shalo yidaktik mashiyim seyochal, not to be so particular, you eat what you can. A mitzvah comes through, right? It's not the perfect mitzvah. You don't have the perfect peace of mind. Not going to be able to do things exactly the way that you would like to do it. But you know you have an opportunity to serve a Kodesh Baruch. And that's the most precious thing in the world. You can't put a price tag on that. The hour is getting a little late, so I'm going to not read much of this next piece inside. But the Chafetz Chaim is a beautiful description. Chafetz Chaim of many, many Svarim, beyond the Mishnah Berurah and the Chafetz Chaim and Shmiras HaLashon, which he's most famous for. He has a sefer called Shem Ola. And in the 19th chapter, he describes that the title of the parak is Matar Zbiya Sa'adim Lolam Haza, the purpose of life in this world. What are we doing in this world? And he describes basically how a neshama is sent to this world the same way a malach is meant to serve God. Every single human being is meant to serve God. The only difference is a malach is basically in position to serve God, and a Jew has to work and work and work to make himself into a malach. And the Chafetz Chaim goes on to say, by the end of your life, you can even surpass the malach by sticking at your job and working for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and doing the best that you can. He tells the story, probably about 20 lines in, he tells the story of the Vilna Gaon on his deathbed. The famous story, the Vilna Gaon was sitting on his deathbed. The Vilna Gaon we know passed away on Chol HaMoed Sukkos, on the third day of Chol HaMoed Sukkos. Which Rav Huttner points out very interestingly. He says it's ironic that the Vilna Gaon passed away on Sukkos, and the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, the founder of Chassidus, passed away on Shavuos. He says, why? He says, because people think the Vilna Gaon is all about Torah, the Baal Shem Tov is all about Simcha. So look how HaKadosh Baruch Hu reminds the world that the Baal Shem Tov passed away on Shavuos, which is the Yom Tov of Torah, and the Vilna Gaon passed away on Sukkos, which is Man Simcha Seinu. To show that really the Vilna Gaon and the Baal Shem Tov is all, it's all one, two sides of the same coin. But the Vilna Gaon passed away. He was sitting moments before he passed away. He was holding his tzitzis. He was clutching his tzitzis. He was clutching his tzitzis. He was crying. He was crying. He was crying. So Tamim said, Rebbe, okay, you lived a life, a very meaningful life. What are you crying about? He says, in this world, for a few pennies, I can have an encounter with the Shekhinah. He says, in the next world, whatever I've got, that's what I've got. I can't buy any more schar. I can't buy any more interaction with God. I can't buy any more closeness with God. Can't earn it once the wedding's over. When the shmorg is gone, the shmorg is gone. So they said to him, what are you talking about? He said, for a few pennies, look at these tzitzis, I can buy a tzitzis for a couple of pennies. For a couple of cents, Chazal say, a person who has tzitzis, you look at the tzitzis like, it's like an encounter with the Shekhinah. He says, in this world I got that, in the next world, whatever I've earned, that's what I've earned, and I can't continue to do anything to earn mitzvahs in the next world. So the Chafetz Chaim says, think about it. Think about the opportunity a Jew has to grab onto the smallest thing. We spoke about this past Shabbos, the Shal Shuras, to have a small connection to something holy, a single word of Torah. It's a priceless thing. And I want to just read the last section of the Chafetz Chaim where it's bolded. The end of Source 15. The Chafetz Chaim says, Keinu mamish belimad haTorah b'chol rega v'rega shu lomer, or maybe lomer, or lomer. V'omer eiza teva. Anytime a Jew says a single word of Torah, who mekai mitzvah saseida raisa shalimur haTorah, the Chafetz Chaim says elsewhere in his writings, he says, a bilam could destroy Klal Yisrael in a split second. You can be mekai, you can keep the world spinning with a word of Torah. A single word of kindness, a single word of tefillah, keeps the world functioning. You mekai a mitzvah da raisa shalimur haTorah, b'zeh ha'es, who lo made mikro, b'zeh who lo made mishnah. This one's learning a pasuk, and this one's learning a mishnah. For every little mitzvah that you do, or kol prat to prat, every little detail of the mitzvah. I mentioned earlier, I use the lashon a crumb of ruchnias. I like to use that phrase, a crumb of ruchnias. I borrowed it from a biography, Hebrew biography of Rav Charlap, Rav Yaakov Moshe Charlap. The Rav Yaakov Moshe Charlap, I think I once told the story, Rav Yaakov Moshe Charlap once went to some Chassidish Rebbe, it was Talmud of Rav Kook, but he once went to some Chassidish Rebbe, because this Rebbe had a certain hanhaga, the way he used to make Havdalah. Rav Yaakov Moshe Charlap wanted to see how this Rebbe made Havdalah. But he couldn't just get in, couldn't get access to the inner chamber of the Rebbe. So Rav Charlap, who was a big person, a big tzad, not a big physically person, but a big tzaddik who had plenty of mitzvahs and mais and tovim, but he wanted so badly to see this hanhaga from this tzaddik, from this Rebbe, that he climbed up on a windowsill to peer through the Rebbe's window so he could see how he made this Havdalah. So his talmidim said to Rebbe, you're not a chassid by this Rebbe. What do you need to see his way of making Havdalah? He said, I heard it's a special thing. And he said, and for a crumb of ruchnius, as he said, for a crumb of ruchnius, it's worth climbing up on a windowsill. Other people are going to think it's beneath my covet, but for a crumb of ruchnius, you can't put a price tag on a crumb of ruchnius. So it's worth climbing up on a window. So the Chavetz Chaim says here in the Shem Olam, he says, for every little prat du prat, yesh maila la oneg b'fnei atzmo. You can't begin to imagine the schar a person's going to get. And then he ends by quoting that Gemara in Erev and Daphne and Dalit, that this world is like a wedding. That's what reminded me of this piece from the Chavetz Chaim. This world is like a wedding. Grab something to eat, grab something and drink. He says, grab something to eat means learn halacha. Grab something to drink means learn agarata. Sheish ben soda sator, which is compared to yayin. Kishnichlas yayin yachta sod. Yayin's gematria sod. Vahu ke'in masha amru chazal in the pasuk lechu lachmu belachmi ushesu b'yein masachti, to eat and to drink. Whatever you can get, eat and drink. Scoop it up. Every word. Understand, again, the Vilna Gaon had plenty of merits and he was still crying over the thought that in a few moments from now, I'm not going to be able to do another mitzvah. And the Vilna Gaon had a sense of what a mitzvah was worth, and he cried bitter tears over those things. Don't wait for the right moment. It's a second before Shkia. You can start Shmona Esrei, And you know what? Maybe you'll get schar, ki'ilu yudavin the whole Shmona Esrei in the Zman. I want to just end with a beautiful piece from Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter in Source 16. Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter is one of the Gedolei Breslov in Yerushalayim today. He has a sefer called Leket Amar. And he says, people make a mistake. They sit around waiting for that right moment to decide to, you know, now is my moment. I'm waiting for Rosh Hashanah, for Yom Kippur. I'm waiting for that breakthrough moment when I'm going to feel connected to Hashem. I'm waiting for that perfect Shabbos, right? Where my Erev Shabbos was benachas, and I'm able to go into Shabbos the way the Rambam describes after my talis. Sometimes you rush into Shabbos. But you know what? That's still Shabbos. That's still has Kedusha Shabbos. That's still Me'an Olam Haba. So you can sit there being bitter, it wasn't the way I would have liked to go into Shabbos. You could just say, you know what, it's Shabbos. And I'm going to embrace Shabbos. And I'm going to squeeze every bit of ruchnius I can get out of Shabbos. Says Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter, in Source 16. Again, it's a piece called Chatov V'Achol. That's the name of the piece. He says, Yesh va'adam mischamek mitafkido haruchniyim betayna. Sometimes people avoid their spiritual responsibilities with the complaint. Ki ata einu mesudar mu'urgan. Now is not a convenient time. It doesn't fit my schedule right now. Not a good time to serve God. Mikamba vakama ilos vesibos. I have all sorts of explanations and reasons why it doesn't work for me now. And sometimes, again, explanations are justified. He says in line number 4, Hanacha zu b'ta'os yisoda. This attitude is a mistake in what it means to be a Jew. V'kvar amru chazal chatov v'achol. Grab and eat, grab and drink. Chazal, he says, where it's bolded, belashon kachem daiku chatov, grab, yes, grab. It doesn't sound, that's not a very refined way to take food. But you know what? If it's a matter of eating or not, grab what you can. She'i'af shal lechakos lahamtin ad she'agishu b'chavod. You can't wait till it's served to you on a nice platter, like the beautiful spread we have tonight. Ki ha'klalu shal la'odim lachtof b'chol kocho kama she'efshar. Gam she'hu nimtza b'matzav shal shalokaseder. Person wants things to be mesudar. That's very nice, but it doesn't. Most of life's not that way. Because if you wait for that moment when life straightens out, you know, when all your kids are in camp and you can have a little quiet at home, and then you can go to the shir benachas. You're going to lose out a lot along the way. Don't sit around waiting for the perfect moment. You need to learn this idea very well. Life as we know it is sometimes seder and sometimes shaloka seder. And he says that's the secret of the pasuk of David Melech. Achor v'kedem tzartani. Hashem, you made me forwards and backwards. Actually, I didn't translate it right. Hashem, you made me backwards and forwards. Achor v'kedem. Sometimes life is just in reverse, you know. It's a lot harder to drive the car in reverse. You have to concentrate a little bit more. Right? But sometimes, you know, sometimes that's the only way to navigate your way out of the driveway. If you're going to wait to drive forward, you're going to sit in your driveway forever. You got to back out sometimes. Sometimes you got to drive in reverse. And then he quotes a beautiful teaching in the Kotzker. The Kotzker Rebbe explained the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Al Torah l'kasha'ef na'esh na'ashem aloti pana. I love this part. The Kotzker said, Pashup Shah, what does the Mishnah say? Al Tomar, a person shouldn't say, l'kasha'ef na'esh na, when it's convenient, esh na, then I'll learn, then I'll study. Because Shem aloti pana. Pashup Shah, the Mishnah says, if you're waiting for that right moment, Shem aloti pana, maybe life's never going to free up. You know, when I get a little older, when I retire, when I this, when I that, right? You'll spend your whole life making excuses and you'll never learn, and you'll never daven, because you're waiting for that perfect moment. It may never come, says the Mishnah. That's the Pashup Pshat of the Mishnah. The Kotzker is a deeper Pshat. The Kotzker says, Al Tomer, don't say, L'kasha'ef na'eshna, that when I have time, that's called real learning. You know why? Because Shema, because perhaps maybe a Kodesh Baruch likes lo tipan. Maybe Hashem likes those moments that you're grabbing here and there. Maybe that shows a greater commitment to a Kodesh Baruch to really be an Eved Hashem when you're sitting on a noisy bus trying to learn Daf Yomi, or you're listening to a shir, right? Or you're going for a jog and you turn on a shir, which you're only half listening to anyways. So what's the point? I might as well just listen to some pump-up music. But you know what? If a little bit gets in, that's also something. And maybe if I become the type of person who's willing to squeeze a little bit in, so maybe it'll become a lot. Maybe that Shmon Esrei I started a couple seconds before the end of the Zman, maybe it can also be something of great substance. Gemara tells us that the world is 6,000 years long. 2,000 years of Tohu Vavohu, 2,000 years of Torah, and the last 2,000 years are what the Gemara refers to in Maseches Avodah Zarah and Maseches Sanhedrin as the Yemos HaMashiach. And the Gemara laments the fact that we're running behind schedule. Right? That means Mashiach was supposed to come, right? And we're in 5777, which means that we're very close to the year 6,000. Less than 250 years till the end of Yemos HaMashiach. Now we're supposed to transition to something called Olam Haba, which comes after Mashiach. So we've missed out on a lot of the Yemos HaMashiach. So we can come into the 3 weeks, which are not too far away, and we can say, okay, you know, what's the point of trying at this point? We basically blew it. We blew Mashiach. We'll sit it out till the year 6000, and then Hashem will bring on Olam Haba. It would have been nice to have whatever Mashiach was supposed to be, but we missed it. Or you could say, you know what? The same way if I chap a mincha at the last second, I can sometimes get credit for the whole thing. So maybe if I chap a Mashiach at the last second, that's also something. Rav Shlomo Karvach, in the final source, a little wacky sefer at home called Ecstasy for the Soul. It's like this colorful Rav Shlomo book. But there's a great line in there. Rav Shlomo would always come late to everything. So Rav Shlomo said, some people were upset by Rav Shlomo's almost perfect record of being late for everything. And in this holy and unique way of relieving tension, he smilingly remarked, my sweetest friends, I know that I'm constantly late, but I just don't want to put Mashiach to shame. I don't want to embarrass Mashiach, he's also running behind schedule. But you know what we say to Mashiach? Listen, you're running a little late. In terms of our behavior, we're running a little late. So we'll meet you somewhere at the finish line. You know what? We'll grab that last second before Shkia, before it's mamish too late. And you know what? Maybe a Kodesh Baruch will be Malam Yitzchus and Klal Yisrael. And say, you know what? Would it have been nicer to have the whole Mashiach more benachas from the beginning of the last 2,000 years? It would have been great. But you know what? This is awesome. This is also called Mashiach. This is also called Ula. Hashem Aloti Pana. Maybe in some roundabout way, Hashem likes when we're able to engage in those difficult moments. And maybe that really makes us into big Jews. So Mirtz Hashem, we should malamit chos on ourselves. And we should value the crumbs of Ruchnis that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the opportunity to have. Even if it's a second of Tefillah, or a second of Torah, or a second of Tehillim. Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter tells a story. He says, I met a Jew who sits at an information desk. I'm not at a mall or some, you know. He sits at an information desk, and he says, between the people who come up to him to ask him information, how to get wherever they're trying to get to, maybe at a bus stop, I don't know what it is. He says, in between his customers, he says, Tehillim. And he says, this guy told me that every day he finishes all of Tehillim, between the people who come to him. A pasuk here, a pasuk there. He just keeps his finger on the place, and when he's free for a moment, he just goes back to his tilim. He says, "This guy, this pashuta yid, finishes tilim every day." Rabbi Nachman of Breslov says, "Mashiach is going to come because of the pashut people who say tilim, not because of the big tzaddikim who sit and learn benachas." This guy who sits in the mall every day, finishing tilim once, he said sometimes even twice a day. So, Mirtz Hashem, we should value those simple moments, and then Mirtz Hashem will be zochah to dance at the big hilula, at the big wedding of Mashiach from Herbi Aminu.
Amen.
Shkayach. Alright, now we'll daven Maariv in the optimal time. Nachas. Yeah. Bench, for this on the bench.